Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God bless.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind, the combination of Wisconsin Eye and WisPolitics look at the run-up to the November 6th election, because that's all that's going on right now. But first, 2 minutes at WisEye was there. Wisconsin County's Executive Director Mark O'Connell says Wisconsin's 1950s tax structure must be updated. Listen for one example he gives. The head of the Wisconsin Medical Society says suicide rates among physicians 3 to 4 times higher than the national average. And another physician says we'd be healthier if we could get stars like Aaron Rodgers to promote eating kale. Number 12 and kale, WisEye was there.
If I woke up this morning and went to a health club, I will pay no sales tax. If I go to a haircut this afternoon, obviously hypothetical, Steve, but if I get a haircut this afternoon, I'm not going to pay any sales tax. But if I stop at a local drugstore and pick up some cold, over-the-counter cold medication for my daughter, I'm going to pay sales tax. I can touch and feel and drop that. We have this 1950s tax structure being applied to our new millennium economy. So we either need to, I guess, go backwards in our economy to move it back to 1950s, not going to happen, nor should it, or update our tax structure to be applied to our new millennium knowledge technology-based economy.
We know we're headed towards a shortage of physicians, which it should be of concern to everyone because you all are patients in one sort or another, because it is an epidemic. Suicide rate among physicians is 3 or 4 times the national average.
As an employer, criminal histories matter. They matter. You don't get to come into the district attorney's office with felony convictions. So, you know, let's be clear. There are some areas that we need that information. You're not going to have a pedophile be able to open up a daycare. But what we need to start talking about is, how do people get all the convictions? What are the convictions for? How should they be impacting them in the future?
We no longer advertise cigarettes to children, but we still advertise sugar-sweetened beverages and unhealthy foods to children. That's an obvious change that we can do. So there are ways that we can change marketing. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could get Aaron Rodgers on you know, eating kale?
I can't, with all due respect, say that DPIs of states will do right, because the Board of Education in Texas, you know, like our DPI, approved textbooks that says slaves were workers.
We don't approve textbooks or curriculum.
I didn't say that you approved textbooks.
Well, I just want to keep...
I'm saying what you're putting out that teachers will use like a textbook or like a resource for themselves to be able to put out information, if it has content that is not correct, that it is a problem.
Biggest surprise of the week, Kimberly Clark saying, we want to vote on the tax breaks, tax incentives, jobs package by the end of the month. That's like 16 days away. Now, I looked it up, JR. The Wisconsin Assembly introduced this bill February 16th, passed it on February 22nd. The vote was 57-36. No Democrats voted for it. But do you agree with me that the biggest surprise is Kimberly Clark giving the Wisconsin Senate a deadline?
That was probably the biggest one, but then there are also like the surprises of Governor Walker kind of out of the blue saying, Senate, come back and take this up. Attorney stopped in Milwaukee. Scott Fitzgerald saying to Jennifer Schilling, the minority leader, bring back your Senate Democrats and caucus, see how many votes they have. Whereas Schilling's office says, well, we were told a month ago that Republicans caucused in the Wisconsin Dells, and this is not going to happen. Yeah. Nobody's asked us for support. Nobody's brought us to the table as part of the discussion. So this is all of a sudden like this kind of power move by Kimberly Clark to force a vote and get an answer. Now, I mean, you can answer when they want one. The company is saying they need this decision so we can start planning what it's going to do. Because don't forget, there's also a plant in Arkansas that does this, a lot of the same things as one plant in the Fox Valley does, that they could close the Wisconsin plant, keep Arkansas going, or vice versa. So it has decisions to make. It wants an answer to figure out what it's going to do.
Right. And Kimberly Clark spokesperson Brooke Smith says, this allows us to finalize our project plans and minimize the uncertainty and distractions being felt at our various sites. Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald, I really don't know how much Senate support there is, and the Senate President, in whose district is the village of Fox Crossing, and we're talking about a plant that employs 500. By the way, Senator Fitzgerald told you and other reporters, okay, we're going to lose 110 jobs at this other facility. So what's at stake is the 500 jobs at Fox Crossing. But then Democrats have said, even Lee Snodgrass, a Democrat running against Senate President Roth, has said, I'm not going to vote for the assembly package. I want a broader package helping the entire paper industry. It's just fascinating.
Well, there are several layers to this. The first layer is, let's just look at the Republican caucus in the Senate. Chris Capinga from Delafield said,
unopposed on November 6th.
He said he was not going to vote for it, period. I talked to the office of Steve Noss this week.
Unopposed on November 6th.
Whitewater Republican. He said he's a no now. Now, Fitzgerald has an 18-15 majority. You take away those two Senate Republican votes, you need everybody else in your caucus, every single member, plus at least one Democrat to pass the bill. In talking to Senate Republicans and their aides, I don't know that they have those 16 votes to start with. There are concerns about things like Kimberly-Clark had a profit of $3-some billion last year. Now, the company also announced, when it announced that profit in January, it wanted to cut $1.5 billion expenditures between 2018 and 2021. This is part of that reorganization. And remember, this is a massive, massive corporation worldwide. They're trying to cut costs.
It's the one that moved their national headquarters from the Fox Valley
years ago
to Texas.
Years ago, that was one of the big blows to Wisconsin in the 80s.
Yes,
this is kind of an iconic manufacturer in Wisconsin. So there's kind of some pressure to keep them there. But the support is just not there in the state Senate for this bill because they look at what Kimberly-Clark made. They look at like the unemployment rate in Wisconsin right now. We're at historic lows, near historic lows,
2.8
for several months in a row.
Yep.
There's a thought of, well, if this plant closes, those folks at Kimberly-Clark can find jobs elsewhere. There are all kinds of pressures like that, and then also the precedent would set, because you're talking about, this would ramp up dramatically the credits that WIDA could give a company to retain jobs. Now, Foxconn, which has got similar provisions, that was to land an entire industry in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
This is retained jobs.
That was a point made by Senator Capinga in July.
And this is there's a fear, this set of precedent that pick your iconic Wisconsin manufacturer, Harley-Davidson, Johnson Control. I mean, pick your name you want to. What happens to that company? It's a rough spot and needs to lay people off. Will we then be forced or cornered into offering the same amount of support? There's a concern about that. The flip side is, you're talking about a company, it's not just this plant, it's the suppliers that go from various parts of the state. Mm-hmm. There'd be a ripple effect. You know, how will that impact the economy? And politically, you're talking about right in the middle of election season where Scott Walker has pinned his reputation on like the Wisconsin comeback, right? Building Wisconsin jobs, all these spots are available. Having this thing close would not be the best thing you want to have happen. And then Roger Roth in his district, he's in a targeted seat all of a sudden. How will that play? This is a seat that is traditionally, it's Appleton area, it's traditionally fairly Republican, except for in 2012, Barack Obama won it by 12 votes over Mitt Romney when the state's by 7% statewide.
12 votes?
12 votes.
12 votes, okay.
Otherwise, not very competitive. But can this issue help make this seat competitive?
Yeah, and just one more note before we move on. I looked up the Fiscal Bureau memo to Senator Schilling on July 24th, and the Assembly passed package scores out at more than $7 million a year over $1,505 million. So there's
now,
that, too.
That package was for 610 jobs.
That's
for
right.
Two plants. Now we're talking one, so it would be slightly cheaper.
I completely agree.
But still, it's significantly higher in terms of the credits than we give anybody else. So my question is why. And I don't know that the critics that I've talked to, if they've been persuaded by Walker or anybody else, there's a case to be made for this yet. The question is, when push comes to shove, will you not take a vote and just say, okay, those jobs are going to walk away? Because that's what's going to happen.
Can you and I agree on one thing? There won't be a Senate vote by September 30th.
I do not see any way right now, barring a minor miracle, they come in by September 30th.
I agree. Okay, I want to turn the page. I want to talk about some of the major new ad themes that are emerging in the governor's race. Now, you're about to tell me how many ads the Walker campaign is, 19?
I think they're around 19 so far, yeah, since the announced reelection, but yeah.
Okay, let's get into that by just looking at the major campaign themes that the Walker and Evers campaign opened this week, because their major themes are going to stay with us through November 6th. The governor's ad, Tony Evers would cut the prison population by one half, quote, releasing thousands of violent criminals into our communities. First abusive teachers, now releasing violent criminals, putting everyone at risk. We just can't trust Tony Evers to keep us safe. Mr. Evers, his campaign opened this theme. He will invest in people, not foreign corporations. Tony Evers, it's time for a change in a governor who cares about us. So this is just major campaign themes that they're opening, but there's plenty more. You want to talk about some of the others?
Sure. Well, let's look at what Walker's doing. The first punch that Walker and Republicans threw at Tony Evers was about this teacher, Middleton, who viewed porn at school, who made inappropriate comments about young women's bodies, that he didn't lose his teacher license, that they blamed Tony Evers for that. This is the second round of saying that Tony Evers can't be trusted because he's putting Wisconsin at risk. All right. Now, that's your argument. The impression I get is that Walker is struggling with independence. There is a Democratic environment happening right now. The question is how Democratic will it be?
How big, how deep, how enthusiastic are the Dem base?
Walker's options are to build up his numbers, which are difficult when you've been around in public office for almost 8 years as governor, been through two elections and a recall election, run for president, people know who you are. You can maybe tear down the other guy. If you can make Evers unacceptable to independent voters, that might be your option. Or even like just turn off people who don't really like you, just to have them not come out to vote because they don't like the other guy either. That could help Walker in some way, right? This is part of the effort to disqualify Tony Evers. What Evers is trying to do is build a case that Walker's not for you. It's, remember, in 2012, that's what Baldwin did with Tommy Thompson, right? He's not for you anymore.
Right.
It's what she's doing with Leah Vukmir this time. You know, she's not for us. It's the same kind of thing, a populist-type message that this person you're seeing is beholden not to you, but to corporations, to name your boogeyman kind of thing. It's the foundation of that argument that he's trying
to make. And now AFP is up, and the Lieutenant Governor, Rebecca Clayfish, is going to do ads as a cancer survivor, that the Walker administration would never end pre-existing conditions. So we're just swamped by ads.
And that's because the Democratic Governors Association, which has this group called A Stronger Wisconsin, did a spot going after Governor Walker about pre-existing conditions, saying essentially that he features this cancer person being treated for cancer, saying that Walker doesn't care for families like hers, that he would take away his protections. Now, this is based off of, and you kind of get in the weeds on this stuff, but there was a House GOP bill that passed that would have given states the ability to seek a waiver from these pre-existing condition protections under the Affordable Care Act. Walker initially said he would be open to that, then later said no, then pushed lawmakers to pass a state bill to protect those with these conditions.
Yep.
But Democrats point out, hey, he's also backed the lawsuit to overturn the Affordable Care Act, which has those protections in it. So there's like kind of a hand-to-hand combat over these little kind of things that make these bigger arguments of this person is bad, no, this person is bad, right?
Yeah, maybe it's time next week to take a deep dive into health care issues, both in the Senate and Gov's race. Okay, let's move on. Sure, we have an obligation to talk about ads, but we also have an obligation to talk about new ideas that both candidates threw out this week. The governor came up with a plan, $5,000 tax credits. If you graduate from college, if you get a degree and stay in Wisconsin, $1,000 a year. It would also apply to Wisconsin residents who got a degree out of state and came back. And he says, we can keep all of you close to home. You've seen that ad with him talking to college-age students. The Evers campaign, dismisses as too little, too late.
This is an example of Walker has, he's done a lot of stuff in 8 years. I mean, you cannot deny the stuff that they've done, the big Republican priorities, cutting taxes, Act 10, like on down the list. This is Scott Walker trying to present a case for a third term. Third terms are hard. You know, you've been around for 8 years, and the question is, well, why didn't you do it the first eight you had? But he's trying to appeal especially to those swing voters, those true independents. You know, some of the stuff with him attacking Tony Evers about firing up the base, you know, getting that base motivated, they're going to turn out. He's trying to find now a foothold with these independent voters to say, hey, look, here are some things that you might like that I'd like to do with the third term.
Right. And Mr. Evers this week opened he did it through the DPI budget request for 2019-2021, and he wants to provide more aid to our five largest school districts, which educate 20% of our K-12 students. Milwaukee, of course, Madison, Kenosha, Green Bay, and Racine. $15,000 stipend if you teach in one of those a high-poverty school in one of those districts, $5 million more for three-year-old kindergarten, $5 million to expand summer school grants, $500,000 for programs that help school principals, and $1 million for learning labs in those five districts. So targeting urban areas, and are urban voters more likely to vote for Democrat?
Remember, Evers has already talked about seeking $600 million more, I believe it is.
For special ed.
For special ed. Also to increase aid for mental health services. So this, I think, is like $13 million. So we're already talking like $650 million plus additional aid that he's going to seek in this DPI budget. Don't forget Governor Walker sent instructions to agency heads this summer saying keep your budgets flat. I don't think Joe Evers is going to do that.
Color within the current fiscal lines.
And don't forget, we haven't talked about the commitment to funding general school aides. Evers wants return to two-thirds funding. This is a formula that was put in place back in the mid-90s by Tommy Thompson. The state would pick up, on average, two-thirds of the cost to pay for school. Right?
And on average is important because it varies widely by district by district.
Yes. The wealthier district you are, the less aid you get as a percentage. The poorer you are, the more you get. But on average, two-thirds. We have fallen short of that mark since the aughts under Jim Doyle because of the budget crunch we were under, if I remember correctly.
If memory serves, I think we're at 62%,
somewhere around like there. So getting us up to that number is going to require more GPR as well, general purpose revenue. So he is going to seek, and this budget request is due on Monday, he is going to seek a significant increase in general purpose revenue to pay for schools. Right. So that also sets up a contrast between him and Scott Walker a little bit.
Right, right. Okay, so those are two new plans offered today by the, or I'm sorry, this week by Governor Walker and Democrat Tony Evers. The race for attorney general is increasingly, is it fair to say increasingly, a dominant theme is the progress made in testing the rape kits, JR. Is that fair?
That's it was a good bar for Schimmel to cross. Yeah. And what he's announced is that these kits, 4,000 and change that were targeted as of like May-ish, I think it was, that those have all been basically been, the backlog has been wiped out with those kits. Now, there were five that came in after June 1st that they're still waiting for results on, but essentially, he's claiming victory in the backlog. Now, the question I've been asking this week is that going to be enough to inoculate himself from the attacks that are coming? That attack is going to be that Brad Schimmel got money earlier in his term to address this backlog and didn't do it. It took until election year to get done. And while it was sitting there, he spent money on swag, for lack of a better word.
Right. And this is a point where I want to hear exactly from the candidates. You're now in recent public appearances, Democrat Josh Call and the Attorney General have talked about this very emotional issue of the progress made in testing rape kits. Let's go to that.
I believe our backlog of untested rape kits in Wisconsin was mishandled. In our AG's first year in office, we received millions of dollars to test those kits. And after 2 years, after he'd been in office for 2 years, only nine of the kits out of more than 4,000 that needed to be tested had been tested. And I just think that is unacceptable, and it means that there has been a delay in getting justice for survivors, and it means that people who have committed a serious violent offense have remained on the streets longer than they should. There's also been increased delays in the time it takes to test other evidence at the crime lab. The DNA delays have increased, for example, the time it takes to test DNA evidence.
For over a quarter century, sexual assault kits have sat in evidence rooms and hospitals across this nation, never sent to crime laboratories for testing. Well, in Wisconsin, we set out to conduct that inventory when I took office in 2015, and we completed it. I knew when I was elected Attorney General that I had an opportunity and a responsibility to take on this challenge to produce better outcomes for survivors of sexual assault, and we've done it. We now have stronger support for victims and stronger investigations that will put more perpetrators behind bars, prevent crimes, bring justice for survivors, and never let this happen again. This is a great day, and I'm so proud of the whole team that has brought about this great victory for the state of Wisconsin.
JR, I just want to do a little bit more on this topic. You reported this week that when Schimmel took office, the backlog was 6,800. So can he pretty significantly say, as he just did, look, we inherited, it's a national problem, we have made major progress, or when you heard Mr. Call say nine kits tested in the first 2 years, not very impressive. Talk to me about the merits of both sides.
You're going to hear both. The question that I have is, what breaks through? I'm sure the Dems, they've already kind of teed up a little bit that they're going to go after delays in testing state labs that have led to, you know, A, B, and C in certain cases. What's going on is you have the Republican Attorneys General Association has been running ads on Schimmel's behalf. He got up on the air this week for the first time, on Friday of last week, his own TV ad. This helps him. You know, he's making this case about his stewardship of the agency. But what I'm picking up from people is that it might not be enough. It might not matter, because if we're talking about a true Democratic wave, and I don't predict anything right now in late September versus, you know, a month and a half from now, but if there's a true Dem wave, how do you overcome that if you're in the wrong letter behind your name? That's something to watch. You know, can they carve out a unique brand for Brad Schimmel beyond being a generic Republican ballot? That's one of his tasks to do between now and the election.
Yeah,
day.
That's a very good point. And a programming note, I'm scheduled to interview both Democrat Josh Call and the Attorney General Brad Schimmel Monday. Look for those campaign interviews. Okay, new topic. It's important to say that former Transportation Secretary Mark Gottlieb, who served from 2011 to 2017, is not endorsing Mr. Evers. However, he did say, in the wake of the governor's comments, I think at the Milwaukee Rotary, when the governor said, special interest groups want to spend billions and billions of billions of dollars on more, bigger, wider interchanges. We have a changing transportation system. Mr. Gottlieb issued a statement. You and I have seen it. Most highways being actively considered for expansion are already unacceptably congested today, causing delay, economic loss, and higher crash rates. How much risk are we willing to see if the governor's predictions hold true? And then, of course, the spokesman for the governor's campaign, Scott Walker, cleaned up the mess Democrats created when they controlled state government and raided the transportation fund, $1.3 billion. Okay, the governor says, in my 8 years, I've spent $24 billion on transportation. Jim Doyle, in his 8 years, spent $21 billion. But you have to go a little deeper. Does that include road aids? How much of that was bonded? So,
well, don't forget, he's talking in raw dollars, not inflation-adjusted dollars. He's also talking because they... money was borrowed then paid back. He's double counting a little bit. So, I mean, if you look at, like, take everything into account, you know, the DOT acknowledges its own report that spending in a lot of these key categories was down under Walker compared to his first year in office when you look at inflation. What Gottlieb is doing, you know, Gottlieb is a roads guy, all right? He's a civil engineer.
Civil engineer. But so, he was also mayor of Port Washington, served in the assembly, joined the Walker administration after he ran for assembly leadership and finished, I think, second. So Mr. Gottlieb has some credibility, even though when he left, there were efforts to say, I mean, Representative Sanfilippo said a lot of things that were critical of Secretary Gottlieb. Excuse me for
Gottlieb is offended. It seems like he's offended by the suggestion that it's like just special interest come in and says, we want a bigger road, and they do it. What he's saying in the statement was that, you know, there's this complex process of, like, these deep reports that go look at what's going on, and it's kind of offensive to say, like, well, you know, my kids are taking Uber and Lyft a lot, so I don't think the projection come true for traffic. Now, the pushback has come from Republicans that, well, under Gottlieb, the agency wasn't as efficient as it could be. That's been a big push under Dave Ross, the new secretary, to try and find, quote-unquote, efficiencies. But basically, they're under a director from Scott Walker to spend less.
What has Secretary Ross said? We don't have a spending problem. No, we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem, correct?
Yeah, and what I mean spend less is spend less than, like, what you could. Like, don't go to the maximum and everything. They're paring back things to try and make it stay within the parameters of the revenues that we have in transportation.
Right. Okay, let's go to your stock picks. Rising.
So let's be honest. First, the hurricane out the East Coast, let's hope that everybody is safe and there's minimal damage and everything.
Florence.
But you can't forget that right now Milwaukee is one of three finalists for the Democratic National Convention bid in 2020. The other two finalists are Miami Beach and Houston. And what happens to those two cities in the summertime sometimes? Hurricanes. So this is a reminder to people of, like, the peril sometimes of going to one of those places for a convention bid. There's a national story this week from Politico talking about citing five people from the process that it was already down to Milwaukee and Houston as, like, you know, the two real contenders for this convention.
Yeah.
What to watch for is, you know, one, this weather thing is going to play in Milwaukee's favor, but two, what happens in November?
Absolutely.
Because in November, if Democrats have a good night in Wisconsin, that could play in its favor. If somehow Beto O'Rourke beats Ted Cruz in Texas, that could play. I mean, that would give people a feeling of, hey, Texas is now, like, in reach. They've talked about for years that Texas at some point will get more Democratic because of the rising Hispanic population and other factors. If that really happened, that would be a reason to go to Texas to put that in play.
And national polls put O'Rourke within five, I think, of
something like
Cruz.
That. I don't know Texas politics, but, you know, that's, yeah, I'm seeing that. And now there's a rush now to go down to Texas by conservative groups to help him out. So that's just something to watch. What happens in November? Because that could play into whether you decide to go, because these conventions are not just about a stage presentation of your message. It's also about, like, how's it impact things? I mean, and the symbolism of, like, Hillary Clinton's kind of skipping Wisconsin in 16, then bringing this here in 2020 can't be lost on people.
Right. Okay, mixed.
So CWD rules, the administration's putting together several things to try and combat the spread of chronic wasting disease. We've been dealing with this now for 17 years, something like that.
Closing in on 20, I think.
And there's a new rule that restricts moving deer carcasses from CWD-affected counties. Well, Steve Noss, chair of the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules, is going to have a hearing the same day the rule takes effect that would possibly roll it back. Now, three options. You could roll it back, you can modify it, or leave it in place. But there are people like Noss and Representative Jarko up from northwestern Wisconsin who are not happy about this rule. It's too restrictive. And there's been some pushback from people in affected areas of, like, these restrictions. So it's something to watch. From the DNR's perspective, this is part of the effort to try and contain the best you can this disease.
Well, didn't Senator Noss's press release say, look, we're within 2 months and 2 weeks of the hunting season?
Yeah.
So how can you get the rule published and out there and get hunters to understand it? So there's a timely issue there. Okay, falling.
You have Stephen's point. Basically, there's a warning for the chancellor this week of, like, look, if enrollment keeps going, you know, goes down, we could have to cut staff. I mean, this university, this branch has had some issues with this, and this is another reminder of its struggles with what's going on financially up there.
Yeah, and the number of jobs, dozens?
50 to 70, I think, is what the
50 to 70
jobs. That we got a hold of.
Okay, we got just a few seconds. The fall debate calendar changed this week. The governor's debate got moved from, do I have this right, October 5 to 19?
Yes, which is the same night as a U.S. Senate debate. But we now have three debates for attorney general, I think. We have three for U.S. Senate and two for the governor, and they're all within a window of, like, basically 10, 12 days in October. So we will be busy in that stretch.
Right. And the Evers campaign said it has a conflict. We don't know the nature
October
of that conflict.
5th. No, they have not said what the conflict might be. They also said that they never agreed to the original date proposed by the broadcasters. So we shall see. We will all be watching for an announcement about October 5th event.
And finally, the number one thing you're going to look for in the MU Charles Franklin poll next week?
Any movement. You know, is there movement in the Senate race, the governor's race? Remember, we've seen now a series of ads in the governor's race. Last time they had Walker plus two with likely voters, which is inside the margin for error.
Yep.
And then that race also had Vukmir minus two to Pammy Baldwin. The Senate race, will we see some momentum there? And then also, there's always this question with the Marquette poll lately about the likely voter model and who's in there.
Yes.
Is it going to continue to be more Republican than we're seeing in other places? Because that's something to watch.
Right. Charles Franklin coming out next week. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for September 1-4.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.